your Locked On Panthers, your daily podcast on the Florida Panthers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Panthers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is a daily podcast that we talk about all things Florida Panthers and the National Hockey League. I'm your host, Armando Velez. You could subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcast. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at MondoMan12. Make sure to follow this show on Twitter at LO Panthers Pod on Twitter. Once again, that's at LO Panthers Pod. You could also follow the Locked On NHL page where we have daily shows every day, Monday through Friday, at Locked On NHL Pods, where it's your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. That is BuiltBar.com, and enter the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. I want to start off this show by saying a little thank you to Frank and Josh, the old host of Locked On Panthers, where they paved the way for this show. Been a Panthers fan most of my life, and when I discovered podcasts, Josh and Frank were, it was appointment listening for me to listen to them every single day related to the Florida Panthers, even after a bad loss on the West Coast or blowing a lead or the defense just giving up a horrible one-on-one goal. And these guys really broke down the game every single day, and I really appreciate everything that they've done to pave the way for this show, introducing me to the Locked On Network. And along with listening to the other shows on the Locked On Network, like the national shows of NBA, NHL, NFL, MLB, listening to my local teams as well, I like the values of the Locked On Podcast Network, where they got fans like myself talking about their favorite team. And who doesn't want to do that? You grow up a fan of a team and you get to cover them. And a little bit about me, I have media experience from my time working in golf television here in Orlando, Florida, and then working in for the NFL for the Miami Dolphins for DolphinsTalk.com. And now I've been covering the NHL for the Florida Panthers, and I get to bring you guys this podcast every single day, and I'm couldn't be more excited to share this with you guys, because South Florida loves a winner. We saw this in 2012, 2016, in at least in the most recent decade, of what South Florida can be when the Florida Panthers are a winner. We know the state of Florida is not known as a hockey state. I mean, it doesn't even snow here. It helps, of course, if the team is winning, to create that fan base, that culture. But look at our neighbors up north slightly in Tampa Bay, who have won two cups in the last 16 years. But it's not just winning those cups. It's being in the playoffs over and over and over again. Being in contention, winning playoff series, advancing far, even if they fall short. That's how you create a fan base, and that's how you create a hockey culture. And I see that the Florida Panthers are really trying to do that with last year hiring three-time Stanley Cup champion in Joel Quenneville throughout his time in Chicago with the Blackhawks, winning three Stanley Cup championships, and his partnership with former president of hockey operations, Dale Tallon. And time ran its course with Dale Tallon, and it was time for him to go. Spent 10 years here with a whole bunch of coaching changes, and it was time for a new voice to make personnel decisions and coaching decisions and everything. And that's where Bill Zito comes to play. And I will say this. Coach Joel Quenneville is the exception not the rule when it comes to hiring GMs and coaches at different times. Philosophically, when it comes to hiring your coaches and GMs, personally, I like it when they're hired together instead of one gets fired, but you keep one and bring in the other, and that might not be your guy. But Joel Quenneville is the exception. A three-time proven Stanley Cup champion, a guy who is not afraid to mix up his lines at all. We saw that so many times last year, and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. I don't think Joel Quenneville has a short leash with Bill Zito. I don't think so, because this franchise is currently in a retooling process, not a rebuilding process, where the team was as bad as can be defensively. Now with picking up someone like Gustav Forsling off waivers a week before the start of the season, who used to play with the Chicago Blackhawks, also picking up a player like Radko Gudas to pair along with. In last night's game, he was paired up with Keith Yandel, and also with the forwards defensively too, getting someone like Ryan Lomberg or Alex Wennberg, Patrick Hornquist, Anthony Duclair, Carter Verhaeghe. And we know that the Panthers can score. The issue has just been the last few seasons, whether it's Bugner or even in Coach Quenneville's first year, that the issues have been defensively. Yes, Sergei Bobrovsky didn't have the greatest year one in his 7 year, $70 million contract, but it wasn't all his fault. There were times where there was one-on-ones and Bob had no chance, and then there were times where opponents would shoot from the top of the blue line, and you think to yourself, Bob, how could you not stop that? But I expect a big bounce back from Bob this year, and after being really held out of camp mostly because of being unfit to play, whatever that meant, because the NHL is going through a different type of terminology when it comes to COVID-19. We don't know if he had COVID or not. But one thing we do know is Bob will be ready whenever his number gets called. And it seems as if when he was out of Cats camp, really, that he was working on his own. I believe Sergei Bobrovsky deleted his Instagram. You would see him posting all the time on his workouts. And I guess that first season under Joel Quenneville and the Florida Panthers, it made him want to get off of that and more focus on more of like his training and what he could do to improve. And hopefully, based on what Joel Quenneville said in a press conference just a day or two ago, he's talking about how the target is to bring back Sergei Bobrovsky on Tuesday against the Chicago Blackhawks at 7 p.m. There's no official word on whether he will play, but it seems as there are signs that he will. Coming up in the next segment, I'm going to be talking about all the rumors of the week related to your Florida Panthers, and it involves two key players from the last few years on the Panthers. Find out who those players are next on Locked On Panthers. The NFL playoffs are now headed to their conference championship games, which means there's only one place to go to for your betting needs. That is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Locked On Panthers on a Monday, January 18th, where the Florida Panthers have defeated the Chicago Blackhawks 5-2 in Sunrise, Florida for their first game of the season and first win of the season. And coming up later this week, I'm going to talk about the whole Keith Yandel situation that's been floating around the last week throughout Cats camp. It's been a roller coaster of emotions. Like, is he, does he have a future here? Will he stay long term? Is he going to be traded? What is he going to be inactive? Is the Iron Man streak at stake? And I'm going to be talking more in depth about it this week. And Keith Yandel played tonight, and he got on the scoreboard too, being paired up with Radko Gudas on the third defensive pairing, and goal was assisted by Jonathan Huberdeau and Ietu Luostarinen, which great game by Luostarinen. And that happened to be Keith Yandel's 100th career goal, but I will say it was awkward seeing Yandel score after all the rumor mill this week about it. But the human side of me is really happy for Keith Yandel, because imagine going to practice every single day, you're not involved in defensive pairings, and then all of a sudden, a few days before opening night, you're practicing with the defensive pairs, and then you're all of a sudden in the lineup. I don't know whether it's a matter of wanting to continue the streak or being a part of this team very Coach Q likely finds Keith Yandel very valuable to this team, and it showed in game one with his presence on the power play, being the quarterback of it and getting on the scoreboard after in early on in the second period. But I will go more in depth with it on whether it's hurting or helping the Panthers. But here's another story I want to talk about. A lot of teams have been calling the Florida Panthers about Sasha Barkov. Those people calling into Bill Zito asking about Alexander Barkov's availability is solely them thinking that once Alexander Barkov's contract is up in the summer of 2022, going into the 2022-2023 season, that he's not going to re-sign with the Florida Panthers. His average annual salary for the next 2 years are at $5.9 million, with a cap hit of 7.36% in 2021 and 8.63% in 2022 at this moment in time. And I will say this, Barkov, at least in the last few years, has been really clear on how much he wants to win in Sunrise, Florida. However, Barkov has every right to change his mind. If the Florida Panthers don't build him a winner around him in the next few years, Barkov has every single reason to want to request a trade. The 2016 season was a magical ride, and that was a time where we fans thought that this was the time for the Panthers really to take off, and there was that great young core with Ekblad, Huberdeau, Barkov, and yes, it's still there, but they haven't gotten the pieces around them. They haven't had the coach till now. They're trying with the new GM, Bill Zito. And I think it's, at this moment in time, right here, right now, I don't think it's appropriate to move him when you're in this retooling mode as opposed to rebuilding. And Sasha Barkov hasn't been an issue off the ice at all. Dude is as quiet as can be. He is really a guy that just goes to work, works hard, trains on his own, comes to play, and goes home. And he seems like the type of guy who would want to stay in a small market, knowing that he is as low-key as can be. But yes, once again, if he is not provided with the talent around him to help him succeed. In a year or two from now, we can't be mad at Alexander Barkov for wanting to request a trade later on. And we can't shame people for wanting to change their mind on being with another team or wanting to win. And Alexander Barkov has been around for a while now. He was the second overall pick in the 2013 NHL entry draft, and he wants to win. And I get it. We all want to win. Huberto wants to win. Ekblad wants to win. He's been around for a while too. And this is Bill Zito's opportunity to really put that the pieces around him without blowing it up completely. And tonight was a good start with the 5-2 win against the Chicago Blackhawks. And yes, the Chicago Blackhawks are rebuilding. Let's call it as it is. They traded Brendan Saad to the Colorado Avalanche. They didn't re-sign Corey Crawford, who ended up retiring after signing with the New Jersey Devils after being plagued with injuries the last few seasons. Jonathan Toews isn't playing, at least indefinitely he's not playing. Yeah, you have a few pieces left in that Chicago core in Duncan Keith, Patrick Kane, but this team is not good enough to win. The Florida Panthers tonight won a game that they should have won, and good for them starting off the season 1-0-0, and they happen to be two games back of the Tampa Bay Lightning with a game in hand. And I'm not going to try to beat the dead horse too much on games in hand this season, because even before I started taking over this podcast, Frank and Josh all the time would talk about how games in hand do not matter unless you win them. And it's just a clinging of hope that might not happen as a result of a win. And there's been plenty of times where the Florida Panthers have had a game in hand and they've failed to come up with a win. And let's not do that this time around. And that happened way too much in the recent years, especially during the two Bob Bugner years. Please, let's not do that. So, Tuesday, Sergei Bobrovsky's expected to be back. And let's pick up another win against a team that is, yes, rebuilding in the Chicago Blackhawks. Because coming up on the schedule, we have the very tough Carolina Hurricanes, who just made the Eastern Conference Final just 2 years ago. And coming up after that is a road trip to Columbus, who have found ways to win despite losing Sergei Bobrovsky and Artemi Panarin. I know they have their issues right now with the whole Pierre-Luc Dubois situation. And George Richards of Florida Hockey Now actually posted an article the other day on whether the Florida Panthers should go after Pierre-Luc Dubois or not. This is the time for the Florida Panthers to take advantage early in the schedule when you have Chicago and Detroit in your own division. Yes, we have the Tampa Bay Lightning in the division, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Nashville Predators. Even they made the Stanley Cup Final just a few years ago. They're not going to be easy to get through. The Dallas Stars just made the Stanley Cup Final just last year, though many around the league don't think that the Dallas Stars can replicate that level of success again this season. The Florida Panthers have a chance to compete for anywhere between third and sixth. And I don't think they'll get the first two spots. I think that's Tampa and Carolina. And I don't think they'll be in the bottom two. I think that's reserved for Detroit and Chicago, at least on paper. So they have an opportunity to get inside of that top four and get into the Stanley Cup playoffs. And they started off well tonight, and it's Just got to continue it on Tuesday where Sergei Bobrovsky might be back. We might see Malcolm Subban for the Chicago Blackhawks. And this is a very, very important year for goalie depth. And Chris Drieger had a fabulous game, saving 22 shots of 24, giving up two goals in that 5-2 win against the Chicago Blackhawks. In the next segment, I will be breaking down further on the Florida Panthers' 5-2 win against the Chicago Blackhawks. But first, let me tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. The improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. They have 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. And they have 6 new flavors of caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and almond crisp. They also have their 12 original flavors like coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange, toffee almond, coconut, and peanut butter brownie. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for the keto diet. And let's talk about the cookies and cream Built Bar. 17 grams of protein with 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order of Built Bars. And in this offer, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch. You will get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. That is the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. Locked On Panthers on a Monday, January 18th, after the Florida Panthers defeated the Chicago Blackhawks 5-2 at the BB&T Center in Sunrise, Florida. Just a reminder to follow this show on Twitter at LOPanthersPod and to subscribe to this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. And just a reminder that don't miss another big hockey story and start off your week with the Locked On NHL podcast. Every Monday, Locked On Kings host Sarah Avampato interviews local experts covering the biggest stories in hockey. Get reactions to blockbuster trades, deep dives on the teams destined to be at the top of the standings, and analysis of hockey's hottest stars. Subscribe to the Locked On NHL podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. So the Florida Panthers, 5-2 against the rebuilding Chicago Blackhawks. And the biggest story of this game was one of the pieces that the Florida Panthers got in a trade from the Carolina Hurricanes just last season. And I'm probably going to butcher this name. It's going to take me a little bit till I say it correctly. Jussi Luostarinen, who was playing on the third line today with Frank Vachano and Owen Tippett, where he scored at 3:15 of the third period to give the Panthers a lead on a 4-on-4 after Murphy from Chicago handed a wrist shot into the goal on a 4-by-4 because the original penalty was a hold on former Panther Lucas Walmark. And then after that, Jonathan Huberdeau, 53 seconds left in the Panthers' power play, was called for hooking. And later on, Murphy scored on a wrist shot that was possibly bounced off Verhaeghe, but replay showed that it didn't bounce off Verhaeghe. And then Luostarinen from the low slot and a beautiful pass by Carter Verhaeghe was able to score along with an assist prior to that on a goal by Keith Yandel earlier in the second period. But another Panthers player that really impressed me early was Radko Gudas, shooting often at the goal very early in the game, having the first 5 of 7 shots. And along with Chris Drieger being only his 16th game in the National Hockey League, there was a lot of promise with Driggar early before he eventually got hurt. But despite Jonathan Huberdeau finishing as the second star of the game, there was a few times where Jonathan Huberdeau actually frustrated me as I was watching tonight's game. The first one was when Jonathan Huberdeau lost the puck early in the first period, and then Patrick Kane was on a charge towards the goal, and there was a score by Chicago, but luckily, based on a coach's challenge by Coach Quenneville, the Florida Panthers won the challenge. Chicago was offside, and the score remained 0-0. And this game had that preseason feel to it. There wasn't much activity really in the first period. There was a lot of sloppiness. But I was pretty impressed with the penalty kill, where there was a lot of times where shorthanded, the Florida Panthers were deep into the Chicago zone, just holding the puck there, not giving the Chicago Blackhawks any opportunities to go to the other end and score early and often. The second frustrating thing that Jonathan Huberdeau did today was shortly after Keith Yandle scored to bring the game to 2-0, which Huberdeau had an assist on, just in the high zone, Hubie lost the puck, and there was a break, a one-on-one break, where Chris Driggar comes up with a huge save to prevent the Chicago Blackhawks from closing the deficit to 2-1. And there was another opportunity where the Blackhawks could have brought the game to 4-3 with Dominik Kubalik having a wide open net on Chris Driggar, and he flat out missed the goal. And the Panthers were very lucky that they were playing a really bad Chicago Blackhawks team. There's another chance where Frank Vetrano, shortly after Patrick Hornquist scored the goal to bring it to 4-2, that was deflected off a Blackhawks stick going 5-hole, that they were lucky that this opponent was just not good. And other opportunities were Keith Yandle taking a penalty that resulted in a power play goal by the Chicago Blackhawks. And I'm going to say this probably over and over again. You take the good with the bad of Keith Yandle. Yes, he scored a goal, but then sometimes he's going to take that dumb penalty for the Panthers. And I don't think it's so bad to the point that he gets completely benched. But at the same time, there are opportunities for other players being taken away. Like tonight was an opportunity for Riley Stillman, and he was a scratch for tonight. You take the good and the bad with Yandle. He'll score and he'll commit dumb penalties. But again, this story will not go away for the Florida Panthers. And Joel Quenneville might just be delaying a scratch by Keith Yandle. It might happen next game. It might happen next week. We don't know. And we just got to be ready regardless of what happens, whether he gets traded. There's rumors about Boston, about waiving that no movement clause of Yandle. And we'll just have to wait and see, because game one, he was good. And we'll leave it at that for now. But this is a story that we will continue to cover later this week. But nothing really to complain about, because the Florida Panthers were able to defeat the Chicago Blackhawks 5-2 with an opportunity to get another win and 2 points on Tuesday night, 7 p.m. at the BB&T Center. So guys, that is going to be my time. So you guys keep it locked in. Subscribe to the podcast and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Follow this show on LO Panthers Pod along with the national show at Locked On NHL Pods. I am Armando Velez signing off, and I will see you guys tomorrow.